For all my women out there, I just want you to know that you are a boss. Women have to be at the table for technology and innovation. And if not, we'll simply create our own. Don't feel like you shouldn't be a part of the tech space just because there aren't many women in the room. That's exactly why we need you to be there. Girl, don't forget to rep your set in these tech spaces, aka rep your culture. You are the face of technology and the face of the future. This quick commercial, guys, is brought to you by Huawei Technologies. Huawei Technologies is a tech firm that develops small to medium-sized websites for businesses. So if you need a website, reach out to Huawei Technologies. They can be reached at huaweitech.com or shoot them an email at info@huaweitech.com. Thank you, Huawei Technologies, for sponsoring this episode. Today, guys, we have special guest Samantha Yap. Samantha is the CEO of Yap Global. Samantha, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, Samantha, let's start from the beginning. Where are you originally from and currently based?
So it might be a longer story than others, but I was born in Malaysia, but grew up in Australia. So I'm actually an Australian citizen, but I'm currently based in London.
Awesome. So Samantha, you have a wide variety of experiences, right? And I'm so excited for our listener base to learn more about you and your background and all the dope stuff that you're doing in the blockchain space. But first, you know, you have a background in journalism, but you're currently in the fintech space. Can you tell us more about, you know, your journalism background and how you made the transition into the PR and marketing in tech?
Yeah, so I studied journalism when I was in high school. I always wanted to be a journalist, and my dream was to be a foreign correspondent. So I wanted to be the reporter on screen when an earthquake happened or a tsunami happened and reporting. So that was the dream. So I studied journalism in Melbourne at Monash University, and my first job out of uni was as a broadcast journalist and producer at Channel News Asia in Singapore. So Channel News Asia is Singapore's national broadcaster. And what I did there was I covered current affairs. I did documentary programs, but also produced a long-form talk show program and wrote a couple of digital stories. And then after 2 years working as a journalist there, I still wanted to fulfill my dreams to be a foreign correspondent, so I quit and I moved to Indonesia to try my hand at freelance journalism. I did that for about 6 months. Didn't really work out the way I planned it, and that's when I fell into a fintech PR job back in Melbourne.
So tell us about that fintech PR job, right? Because you're in the fintech space now, which of course we'll get into that story and how you started Yap Global and all this good stuff. But tell us about how that experience kind of, you know, led you into where you are today.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to begin, I am, you know, not technical by background. I didn't actually study finance. I'm not so good with numbers, I would say. I wouldn't say I'm kind of financial by in my background, but I was all of a sudden was helping kind of I was helping fintech and technology companies tell their stories. So it was quite foreign to me at the start, but all I knew was, you know, journalism and how to tell stories. So I kind of learned that way, because ultimately as a journalist, your job is to kind of break down something that's quite complex, you know, research it well, and then, you know, repackage it into an easy easy to understand article. So that's kind of what I learned during that short stint in that role. And that's kind of what led me to start Yap Global, although I didn't think about it at the time. I would say I started Yap Global accidentally. And mind you, I still had a dream of being a journalist. And I always thought that this PR gig was going to be short term. It was just to see what it was like on the other side, because in journalism we call those in PR going to the dark side. But then I stayed here and I started a company in this space, so here I am.
I love it. So you stayed a little dark. So I guess it wasn't as dark as you expected it to be.
No, but I still like always say I'm a journalist at heart. I'm still true to to the profession. I guess I'd say I'm on the other end, and I still support, journalists and their job.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Samantha, so let's get into it, right? So, the background is in journalism. You had this dope experience in Melbourne, right, where you were working with fintech startups. So, let's get into that. So, what is Yap Global, and what is this story that you said you accidentally, where you accidentally started the company? We want to hear about that.
That. Yeah, so that was in 2017. I was doing long distance with my now husband. He was in Copenhagen at the time, and I was in Melbourne, and so we were literally doing long distance. And we were kind of deciding where we wanted to move to. We tried to move to Hong Kong, but that didn't really work out, and London was the next best option. So he got a job there, and I didn't have anything lined up, but I decided to make the move. As an Australian, we're able to work in the UK for 2 years. So yeah, I basically moved to London with I wouldn't say nothing, but I just had a bit of savings in my bank account, and then I was just looking for jobs. And I was looking both at journalism roles, but also PR roles, because I had those expertise. But I didn't find anything that I really liked. But meanwhile, that year was when kind of the ICO boom happened in the crypto space. And for those who don't know what ICOs are, they're initial coin offerings. It's a way of fundraising that kind of sparked a lot of interest into this industry. And so the media was all the buzz about it, and I was kind of posting a lot about it. I even did a few freelance writing jobs where I helped tell stories in the space, and that's when I got my first clients. So it was a company that reached out to me, and they needed a comms person or a head of PR, and I didn't want to be tied down to one company, so I just said, okay, I basically put a pitch deck together. I didn't really. Like I was just taking it one step at a time, and they were like, sure. And yeah, I brought them on, and then more started to come. And that's when I decided to start a company. It's called Yap Global, and Yap, while it's my last name, it also stands for Your Angle Presented Globally. And the main mission of Yap Global is to build a bridge between quality journalism and emerging technology companies that are making a difference in the world. So, still bringing my passion for journalism and combining it with what we're really doing is helping, these emerging technology companies translate, I guess, what they're trying to do to the mainstream media and
So,
media in general.
yeah, no, so this is really important, right? Because there are a lot of folks of us who are listening to this show right now. We have our own tech startups. A lot of the folks who listen to the show, they're CEOs of startup companies in tech and in different industries. And you can have a good product, right? And I know, Samantha, you run into this all the time. This is why you have such good clientele. You can have a good product, you can have a good team, but if you can't share your story, it's just hard, right? Like, how are you going to raise capital? How are you going to get users so that way you can raise the capital so investors will be, interested in investing in you, period. So, what is the secret sauce behind telling a good story? What are the things that you feel like entrepreneurs should know? And even more so, if we want to get specific, I'm curious to know if it's really a different strategy that most maybe PR and marketing folks would do in the fashion industry versus tech, right? Like it's really different. The content is a whole new space. Like, it's not your regular average entertainer or an average consumer, right? Who might be integrating and, consuming the content that you put out there. So, what's the secret sauce behind telling a good story for these tech entrepreneurs? What is it that we should know?
Right, the secret sauce. I mean, it's not so secret, but really, it's spending the time and energy to kind of break down what you're trying to do. And I think especially with the clients we work with, I think they appreciate having a third party, basically, a team, which is us, that's on the outside. Because I think what a lot of founders and a lot of the developers and the team that are building products, they're so caught up and deep into what they're building that, they may be caught up with the jargon, but we almost on the outside are kind of asking the questions that say our grandparents may ask. So the favorite kind of question we would like to ask our like we like to ask our clients or get them to think about is, how would you explain what you're trying to do to the average person on the street? Because really, that's who we're pitching to as well. Journalists, even though they're special, like even though we may be pitching to journalists that specialize in crypto, they, there's so many verticals in the crypto space. Right now, the hottest applications right now are decentralized financial applications. But that's different to say centralized financial services in the crypto space, like crypto custody solutions. So it's really about basically asking the questions you think your mom, your dad, or a sibling might ask, on the outside of your industry might ask you, and coming up with the right answers or explanations to get to the point. And it's kind of like a test, right? Like if you, can test it with, say, and I like to say either parents or a sibling. If you can test it with a friend that's outside of your industry and they still don't get you, then you need to work a little harder. But if you are explaining it clearly and your friend who's outside of the industry you're in gets it, then you've done your job. I hope that makes sense.
No, that is. Yes, no, that is very helpful. And it's a practical tip, right, that folks can use, especially as they're developing and creating, because things change so much in the tech space. And making sure that that clear vision and purpose is getting a part is very important. So that was perfect, Samantha. That was great. So, what are some of the common pitfalls that you see in the blockchain space that startups are struggling with? In regards to PR and journalism, and how is Yap Global helping them solve these problems?
Yeah, I think it's, mainly about, the content that they're putting out and just how they're describing how a lot of the companies in the space are describing their projects or explaining their projects. I think when they're explaining it in really unfriendly technical terms, like, I'm not talking about one particular client, but let's say we have a client that's a data oracle in the decentralized financial space. And the importance of a data oracle is that it's kind of a, it builds trust in the industry. And it kind of, I might not go into how into details about how it works right now, but basically the importance of it is that it's supposed to build trust in this decentralized, financial system, which has no central authority running it. So I think, for our clients particularly, it's kind of about explaining the, why they matter and why they're important. I think a lot of founders forget or don't even think about explaining the why that matters. They're just like, we're doing this, we're building this, and it's awesome. But if it's not getting received on the other end, that's the struggle. Another point is also just adding context. I think a lot of people in the industry seem to speak within their own like bubbles and not really explaining or taking time to give context to what they're talking about. But a good example of adding context is something that's a bit more newsworthy at the moment. So think 2 to 3 weeks ago, or okay, maybe I should not put a time to this because I'm not sure when this will go out. But basically, lately there was a Twitter hack that led to some of the most famous people like Elon Musk, I think Apple, like even Kanye West and like Kim Kardashian, their accounts kind of being compromised.
Right.
And there was a tweet that came out and said like, hey, if you want more Bitcoin, send some Bitcoin to me and I'll send it back. So it ended up being this 17-year-old that managed to hack into the Twitter's centralized database to compromise these accounts. But because he used Bitcoin to try to, steal money, it started getting labeled in the headlines as a Bitcoin scam, but that was actually wrong. And I think that people in the industry, in the crypto industry, should have come out a bit more to defend Bitcoin's integrity. Because if that hacker used US dollars and put in a bank account, I'm not sure it would have garnered that much headlines. But also building up onto that is, I think only 200,000, more or less got stolen at $200,000. In the grand scheme of things of a hack, 200,000 is not that much, because you would, hear of exchange hacks where millions would get lost, and also, hear about fraudulent stories of banks that, you hear billions of dollars disappearing of balance sheets at times, right? So, I mean, not at times, that's very rare, but, there have been instances where that has happened. So it's just adding that context, really, and I think that's what is needed a bit more, and that's what the blockchain space is missing at the moment.
It's such a new, so I have a question. So, this is such a new space, right? So it's like, the techies, right, who are developing the technology are learning as they go, and so are you. So are you finding that, I guess I want to know more about the challenges of, okay, because of this being such, new technology, how does this affect you as a person who has to tell a story when, there's not much historical context, in this space? Or do you feel like, helping a startup in this area is it's not that much different from helping a startup in a different industry?
It is very challenging when there's no kind of historical record of what your client's trying to do. But that is kind of, my team has gotten used to that. And I think that's where our value comes in, that we're able to turn something that's new into a compelling story that should be written today. And a lot of it also applies, I mean, a lot of it comes from thinking like journalists, which is one of our main, I guess, selling points, is that we like to tell stories like journalists. And part of that is thinking of the newsworthy hook. So, basically justifying why what our client is doing is important today, rather than, hey, they're doing this. But there's no real urgency or timeliness to the story. So it's about kind of adding that news hook. And a lot of that comes from watching the space every day. So my team read up and daily just keep up with the space, and it moves very, very fast.
That's awesome. So, Samantha, can you explain to our audience, because I was, of course, looking at the website and everything and looking at the different services and stuff that you guys offer, can you explain to our audience what brand positioning is and give advice as to, why is this so vital for a successful business? And how do our listeners create, successful brand positioning?
So when we bring on a client, we like to do a brand positioning exercise. And what it is basically is, helping the client articulate what their key messages are. And that will help with their PR brand in the long term. So when the client is able to articulate that these are the key messages they want to get across, and we have a clear, like, one-liner or clear description of the company, then we can start to do our PR, and then we can see that the PR is effective in the long term. And a lot of that is just making sure that our clients are being consistently talked about and being mentioned in the press. And having that uniform message really helps in the long term, because if you think about it, if you're talking to a journalist today, and you're giving them a description that might change a week later, it is much harder for your company to retain attention and like retain that brand image. But if you have one uniform kind of brand positioning session that, you know, and everyone's like agreeable to like one guide, then in the long term, it's going to help raise more awareness effectively for your brand.
So, you know, what advice do you have for tech entrepreneurs, right? So we're talking about brand positioning, and this is a perfect segue, but what advice do you have for those who are really trying to reach their target audience? What are some strategies that you use?
My advice would be to be very clear with who your target audience is, and it could be several groups. And it's just my main recommendation is to keep a clear like vision and mission, because companies want to know why certain you know, sorry, people want to know why companies are you know, putting out a certain product. So I think it's just to have a clear target audience, and make sure that your messaging and the stories that you put out make sense and is tailored towards that audience.
You know, Samantha, one thing that I really loved about your company is that, and I thought that was really amazing, is that your team is about like 95% women. That's so rare to see in the tech space. And even though you know, you're a PR and marketing firm, that's, you know, that's a big deal, right? For your niche and for your specialty. So what advice do you have for women who are navigating the tech space, and especially for those of the listeners who are non-technical but looking to explore new areas, kind of like you did?
Well, the short answer is don't be afraid to just jump into it. And I've been basically learning this step by step, you know, learning, you know, terms in the fintech, crypto, and blockchain space. You know, it just takes a lot of reading, a lot of listening to podcasts and speaking to people, but it's really not that daunting. And actually, to be honest, in particular, I can only speak for the industry I'm in. I think people in the blockchain and crypto industry are quite open and quite friendly, and they're quite like open to answering your questions. I have a few people that I kind of turn to on Telegram whenever I'm struggling with something. I have a, you know, someone I turn to. I call him my crypto sensei. So anything that's technical, I kind of could ping him. But also mainly for, I guess, the women who want to enter the space, who may not have the technical background, what I can say is the tech industry actually desperately needs communication and PR professionals who understand how to tell a story and position it for the media. So if you're worried that you don't have that technical background, that's actually better, because yeah, this space needs more people on the outside to bring their expertise in, because otherwise everything will just be one-sided. There'll just be a lot of developers, a lot of developer speak, and no one really trying to help translate that.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Samantha. I often think about my friends. So I am an actual techie and I'm a full stack developer, and I often think of some of my other friends who, but I'm an entrepreneur. But I think about my other friends who aren't entrepreneurs, who are in the tech space, and you know, all they want to do is code, right? And so, you know, and the folks who they hang around, you know, we're all like people who, you know, we do development work and all that good stuff. But fortunately for me as an entrepreneur, I know how to communicate very well and get my story across, because that's just a part of running a business, especially if you're an owner and a founder. But there are a lot of folks in this space who just don't understand how to explain that they have really good project. Like I have one of my good friends. He's one of the dopest developers I know. But whenever he's posting and stuff on social media, I'll text him and be like, listen, you need to change your words here, Dom. Like this isn't like this could be better. You're using language like how me and you are on the phone, but not the average person on Instagram. So you have to switch it and change it around. So that's a great point, Samantha, about, you know, folks really branching out and looking into, you know, this space in particular to help the developers.
Yeah, exactly. And just exactly like what you did, that's how kind of like the PR and comms professionals or even, those in marketing industries can come in and help people like your friend. And it, yeah, I think I would also, go one step further and have them think about this as a niche industry that is still it's young because there are actually not enough people in it to make it go mainstream. Like, so I see it as an opportunity. Like, get in early, really.
Exactly. It's like, no, literally, I tell people this all the time because I'm working on some project in the blockchain space, specifically around smart contracting. And I tell people all the time, like, anyone who's doing anything in this space, you're an automatic pioneer because no one's doing it, right? Like, this is like the early days of the dot-com. And how often do we, do society in general, get to have access to an opportunity that will completely change generations to come, right? So, for example, the dot-com boom was the boom, right? Before that, it was, I don't know, maybe cars and soda. I don't know. But this is a really big boom. And so, anyone, whether you're in the PR space, whether you're in the journalism space, where you're an actual developer, whatever it is, like you are, like you're doing something amazing. And it, and eventually, if we're consistent and you stick with what you're doing and I stick with what I'm doing, Samantha, we're gonna be right, like the next big thing, and in due time, right? Yeah, exactly.
Actually, back to your question on like, how do we tell a story of companies that, don't even have any reference point because they're the first to be doing it? That's actually quite exciting because we're almost building the story. We're like creating the image and the story for these new companies. And so, in fact, for the next companies to come that are similar to our clients, they're probably going to look at what we've just built or what we've just written or like the story that we built. And I think, yeah, that's the fun part.
I love it. No, the work that you guys are doing, you and your team at Yap Global, it's really amazing, Samantha. And yeah, you guys are pioneers, and I just love every bit of it. So, you know, we're down to our final two questions, and I want to know, Samantha, you know, with all your knowledge, mistakes and successes over the years, if you could go back to the beginning of your career launch of when you launched Yap Global, what advice would you give yourself?
What I would say to myself is growing a company on your own is going to be a nerve-wracking journey. But the advice I would give myself is to make sure you celebrate every win, big or small, and enjoy the journey. Because usually when I overcome one obstacle, I'm quick to move on to the next without acknowledging kind of how far I've come or my team has come. And yeah, looking back, I wish I would have just celebrated a bit more of the wins and had more fun. I've had fun so far, but when you're a founder, you're constantly battling imposter syndrome and not thinking you're good enough. So you're like moving from one obstacle to the next without, pausing to reflect and actually, yeah, giving yourself a pat on the back every now and then.
No, Samantha, that's a really good point. I love what you said about pausing to just enjoy and, you know, basically celebrating the moment, right? And the wins, small or big, because I struggled with that like for years. And whenever I tell people this, they're like, what? There's no way. But I'll be honest and say that I've been in the tech space, right, for like the last, I don't know what, 8 years or whatever. But I recently, it wasn't until I would say maybe October of last year that I really started to say, like, wait a minute, Ariana, pause. Like, you're dope. It's okay to be excited about that. And I literally just got over imposter syndrome. What is that? Like almost a year ago, 9 months, 10 months, wherever. And so, and sometimes it still comes up, right? Like you do things and you meet other people and it's like, oh man, but they're doing this, this, and that. And I just have to remind myself, like, okay, wait, this is your story, Ariana. This is your lane. You don't know what it took for Samantha or Ariana or who so and so to get to where they are. So I just try to focus on, you know, like you said, like the small wins and just being excited about the process in general, so that way I'm not beating myself up and I don't know how to enjoy myself. So, no, that was a great point. I'm glad that you mentioned that. The last thing, Samantha, so what's one tangible piece of advice or recommendation or a book that you can give to our listeners today?
Yeah, I guess I have just one quote that's helped me get to where I am today, and it's by Robert Kiyosaki. He's an American businessman, and he said, "The size of your success is measured by the strength of your desire, the size of your dream, and how well you handle disappointment along the way." And I just have to say, there will be ups and downs with any journey you take, but it's just about continuing to dream and taking action and taking the next steps to get to what where you want to go.
Well, Samantha, thank you so much for being here. It was such a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show. And I know there's so many different jewels that our audience gained from you today. And yeah, we just appreciate you and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ariana. And I think what you're doing is really great. And yeah, I look forward to listening to the next podcast on your show.
You guys, don't forget to hit subscribe on whatever app or website that you're using currently right now. Share this episode with a friend. If you're in the entrepreneur space or you know someone in tech and they're struggling with telling their story, or maybe, you know, they need to hear, you know, more advice about PR and marketing, make sure you share this episode with your friends and family. It's your girl Ariana signing out, and I'll talk to you next week.